When I was thinking about my title for this week, I was thinking about the words blue and Christmas, which really don't go together unless you're an Elvis fan. So I see some of you do have that song. You do have that Elvis song. Some of you are better still playing that at Christmas time, aren't you? Some of you that are younger don't even know what I'm talking about. Elvis sang a song many times about a blue Christmas. And while the words of Elvis's song are not what I'm going to talk about today, the fact that people around you right here today and around us in our communities will have a blue Christmas is a reality. You know what I'm saying? That's a reality. We just heard in these last days about the tragedy for Renata Wiegert. Maybe you don't know her. Maybe you don't know the Marshall family, the Wiegert family. But how quickly life can change in an instant. Their family will have a challenging Christmas. We need to pray for them. I have encountered people in the last days, just these last 2 weeks. No money for food, no money for the rent, much less money for kids' presents. They will experience a difficult Christmas. I have encountered people in these last days, and not my, although my schedule has been a little like this, this is not referring to me, but people running to doctor's appointments, doing testing, wondering what the next test and the next level of cancer will be. Their Christmas will be anxious, to say the least. I have been with, and so have some of you, people struggling with serious health issues in our family, in our loved ones. It will make for a very mixed feeling around Christmas. I have talked to people in the last 2 weeks that will be, for all they know, alone at Christmas. It'll make for a difficult Christmas for them. And, of course, we know there's people, our American soldiers, fighting a war halfway around the world. Their families will be here, they're there. Missionary families will be there, we're here. And that Christmas, their families will seem like there's something missing. Over the last month, we have encountered people that have no home in our community, homeless. They've got no place to live, much less a tree or gifts or a fireplace or family to gather around. They will experience a Christmas that's different than yours and mine. And I could go on and on about the challenges of life, but they're real. And while we are celebrating with joy the season of Jesus, and I know some of you have pain, physical and emotional right now, but by and large, we will celebrate with joy this season. May I suggest to you that there will be people that don't have that same kind of joy. I was blessed this last Tuesday to spend time and share from Scripture with a number of families at the Brenny Funeral Home for their candle lighting service. Brenny does that for families that have done they've done funerals for this past year. They did that again this week. They asked me to come and share with the people, the families there. They're all there for one reason. They lost somebody this year. Their Christmas will be different. One lady said it best to me. Her name was Pat. She's a lady of some years more than I. But she said to me, I guess this is the new normal. And so, while Christmas is a joyous time, and I don't want to take away from that, I want to talk to us today about Christmas blues for two reasons. Number one, many people need to hear, experience, process, absorb, and feel one more time that God is real, He loves them, and they are not alone. One more time, somebody around us needs to hear and feel that. And maybe it will use you or I to be that person, to love them. And the other reason is, the second reason I talk about these things today is, because the rest of us need to be aware that not everything is perfect in everybody's world. And as believers, we need to be there. Paul said it this way in Galatians chapter 6, to bear one another's burdens. And now's a good time to do that, this time of year. And so that's why I've chosen this topic today of Christmas blues as a reminder to us, the church, to love our neighbor as ourself. To not be quite so busy that we are all inwardly focused, but maybe something will come to mind. God will reveal to us this Christmas season to be outwardly focused and minister to somebody who's hurting. And so I realize that instead of joy, I realize it firsthand over and over and over these last 3 weeks. Instead of joy and the beauty of the holiness of this season, some are finding themselves in this dark place of brokenness, despair, loneliness, and bitterness at this time of year. After I got done speaking the other day at at Brenny's, a man came up to me and he said, he greeted me by name and he said, "Thank you, Jim." Then he said, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "No, sorry, I don't." "Dwayne, I'm Dwayne." "You've been there, haven't you?" I said, "Help me out." "Your classmate." "Well, for heaven's sakes, it's been 39 years since I've graduated. And it's been 39 years since I've seen him." But when he finally told me his last name, the final clue, I knew it. And as soon as he said his last name, I said, "I'm sorry, Dwayne. I read in the paper you lost your son. He only had one. And he lost his son. His daughters were there. His wife was there." And I was reminded again that not everybody's Christmas will be perfectly merry and bright. There's a hole in their families. There's a pain in their body. There's a diagnosis they've just been handed. And I'm here to encourage you today that even when that happens, there's a God that's real that wants to minister to you in ways that perhaps you've never been ministered to before. If we will just let Him, if we will just surrender, if we will just let the Master minister to us in His goodness, He'll show you one more time we're not in it alone. And He'll remind us one more time, having put our faith and trust in Him, even if our body gives in to death, it's not over. There's more. There's victory in Jesus. And He'll come to us in the loneliest, most desperate times of our lives if we'll let Him. And He'll say to us, He'll reach out His hand of mercy again and say, "I love you. I sent my son to die for you." That's what we celebrate at Christmas. We celebrate this baby, but we know about the cross. And He'll come to us in our moments of despair. And He'll embrace you. You will feel His presence. You will know He's there. And one more time, you'll know, "Thank you, Lord. I know I'm not in it alone." Remember those shepherds outside of Bethlehem in Luke chapter 2? Turn to Luke chapter 2 if you got your Bibles. It'll be on the big screen if you don't. But turn to Luke chapter 2. I want to talk about them shepherds for just a minute. Those shepherds that were in the hillsides outside Bethlehem the night Jesus was born, they didn't expect that night to be any different than any previous dark, lonely night either. Just another dark, lonely night. Every night was the same for shepherds. Didn't even see any street lamps. Maybe heard a howling dog or a coyote someplace off in the distance. And that night, as they sat there amongst their sheep, listening to them breathe in the quiet of the night, you can hear an animal breathe. You can hear them chewing their cud. Some of you may not know what that is, and it's kind of gross if you don't, but if you do, you know what I'm talking about. You can ask somebody later about that. But it was just another dark and lonely night for those shepherds, probably waiting for the first glimpses of sun again in morning to come and get them through one more period of dark loneliness. But this night, God has chosen to send angels to announce the birth of His Son. And so let's pick it up in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and see again what Luke writes for us. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round him, and they were greatly afraid. If you've got the King James, it says, and they were sore afraid. Some of yours will say terrified. They're frightened beyond measure, because here they are in the blackness of night, and all of a sudden, boom, there's an angel right amongst them, and the glory of God is all around them. It's dazzling bright, and here they are, as the Bible says, greatly afraid. And sometimes that is exactly how we find ourselves, even at Christmas season. Greatly afraid for the next doctor's appointment. Greatly afraid for the next funeral. Greatly afraid for the next event in our life that will only bring hurt and chaos and mayhem. And sometimes that's how we feel too. Greatly afraid at what is going to be next. But the angel said, do not be afraid. Easier said than done. Am I right? Easier said than done. We could come back and we could say, why not, O angel? Can I not be afraid? Why not can I not be afraid because of the cancer, because of the divorce, or because of the loss of my job, or the loss of my life, or 100 other things? And he reminds them that night, you don't have to be afraid tonight, shepherds. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. They've been waiting for hundreds of years to hear this message. And why he came to the shepherds, I'll never know. You'll have to ask the Lord someday that when you're in glory. But he came to the shepherds. He didn't come to the president or the king or the religious leaders. He came to the shepherds that night, scared them out of their wits, and then told them, don't be afraid. Why do you not have to be afraid tonight, shepherds, or today, people of God? Because of the same message, good tidings of great joy have come to all people. That's good news. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Some in our midst have just had a stroke. Some in our midst, our family, our larger extended family, have just had shattered hips and shattered shoulders where they need surgery, cancers, loss of job, loss of life, and they're feeling afraid today because of the effects of life. And the angels come to us with the same message and said, don't be afraid, because there is good news. Jesus is among us. There's good news, even in your fear, even in your terror, even in the loss, even in your hurt. There's good news, and His name is Jesus. That's what the message was that night. And this will be a sign to you, they said. You will find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, and you'll find him lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, I don't know how many angels there were there, but it must have been a sight. It went from one angel to a multitude of angels All the angels had to be excited. Let me go, God. Let me go tell them. Let me go sing. The angels were there singing, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. And the Bible says when the angels had gone away from them, that's the shepherds, into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let's go see. Let's go look. Let's get on down to Bethlehem and see if what they said is true. You've had questions too, haven't you? Is it true, Lord? Are you really with me, Lord? We've had questions, and they said to each other, let's now go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the sayings which were told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then those shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. He had turned their terror into joy. And He will, He has, He does, and He can do the same thing for you and me and anybody else. Turn our terror into joy. Turn our fright into gladness. No, we're not celebrating or glad because we've lost that loved one, but because there's hope in Jesus. And He can turn our terror into joy. You see, God knows the dark night that you are in and that everybody else around us might be in. He knows the dark night of your soul. That's a book written a long time ago. He knows the dark night that you're in, and He can transform that darkness into joy. The angels told the shepherds that night, rejoice tonight. Rejoice tonight. Because there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. He's saying, there is good news, Israel. God is with you. God is among you. We hear at Christmas time so oftentimes the word Emmanuel. We know what that means, right? God with us. We hear Emmanuel. It means God with us. And the shepherds were keenly aware that night that something supernatural happened. And they went down to see if it was even real. And they recognized Jesus was born and God was with us. God sends the same message to you and I today. He is still with us. He still knows the dark night of your soul. He still knows that you're in a blue time of life. And your Christmas may be blue. And He is still God with us. Let me just say this. If you get nothing else, get these couple of things. God will take the broken pieces of your shattered and lonely heart and turn it into a place of peace in the Prince of Peace. He will take those broken pieces of your shattered life and heart and grant to you peace from the Prince of Peace, even Jesus. He will do it. He's done it before. He's doing it now. He will do it again. God will fill the holes that have been created in your heart because of the loss of your loved one or the pain you're going through. And He will exchange the holes in your heart, in your soul, in your life with wholeness in Jesus if you will let Him. He will do it. You say, Jim, I'm not feeling that kind of peace, and I'm not feeling that kind of wholeness. Listen to what Gloria Gaither said one time. I believe like so much of what she said is dead on. I believe this is dead on. God walks with us. He scoops us up in His arms, or simply sits with us in silent strength until we cannot avoid the awesome recognition that, yes, even now, He's here. That's the God we serve. And even if we're going through a blue Christmas, that's the God that so desperately loves you, so desperately wants to comfort you again, so desperately wants to scoop you up in His arms and just wait with you in silent strength until we cannot avoid the awesome recognition that, yes, even now, He is here. You see, friends, at Christmas time, our hope is in Him. It's in Him. We put our hope in people once in a while, or things, or events, or circumstances. But the bottom line, our hope is in Jesus. And if we've never trusted Jesus Christ completely, surrendered to Him as, Him as Lord, we will never know that hope. I'm not talking about knowing about God in our mind. I'm talking about surrendering to Christ as Master, as Emmanuel, as Messiah, as Lord. When we have done that, that is where our hope comes from. In Him. It's not the things we get at Christmas. It's not the wonderful presents or time with your family, although those are fun, those are nice. Our hope, brothers and sisters, is in the baby in a manger who came to be the Messiah of the human race. That's our hope. I know we say, Jim, I hope I get a job, or Jim, I hope I get better, or Jim, I hope I'm not alone at Christmas time, or I hope if I'm a child, I hope, Papa, I get that special gift. I know we got a lot of hopes. I even hope the judge that I got to stand before tomorrow don't put me on the jury, so I got to stay in Duluth for the next month. But my hope is in Him, Jesus. And our comfort, friends, comes not from things, but from Him, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And even in our hurt, our pain, our anxiety and loss, it doesn't seem like the word joy even fits into that equation. But even in our darkest moment, even in the bluest of blue Christmases, our joy comes in the form of this baby in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago that became our Messiah. And we will never know joy until we know Jesus as Lord. And so I'm just saying today, friends, our joy, our comfort, our hope is in the Messiah. This baby that we celebrate, that our kids will celebrate here in the next little while, and they'll tell us a story. This baby in a manger, this baby in Bethlehem, this baby that was prophesied 700 years BC, we saw that last week. He is our hope in the bluest of Christmas. He is our comfort in the most tragic of Christmases. He is our joy in spite of all the earthly circumstances. It's Jesus. And may I suggest to you, friends, if you've never surrendered to Him, do it now and experience the joy and the comfort and the hope and the peace in a new way, and allow Him to lead you in and through this, what is perhaps a very blue Christmas. I want to close with you with a little poem that I've seen before on internet circulating here and there around, but it was handed to me the other day and I read through it again and I thought, how fitting is this? And then our praise team, matter of fact, praise team, you can come now. And this last song is also very appropriate. It's called Here With Us. And I want you to know again, friends, He is here with us. He is here with you. He is here in the darkest moments of life. He wants to love you and comfort you and lead you into a place that's less than blue. He wants to cherish you and administer strength to you and comfort to you and peace to you. And we just got to surrender again. We just got to trust Him. We just got to love Him and say, take over. And He'll do it. Let me close with this song or this poem, and then we're going to close with a song. He's here with us. And if you're here today and want to be prayed for anything, I'll pray with you. Richard's here. He'll pray with you. Pastor Les is here. If you want prayer for anything today, we want to pray for you. Let me close with this poem. It's called Just Checking In. A minister passing through his church in the middle of the day decided to pause by the altar to see who came to pray. Just then the back door opened and a man came down the aisle. The minister frowned as he saw the man hadn't shaved in a while. His shirt was torn and shabby and his coat was worn and frayed. The man knelt down and bowed his head, then rose and walked away. In the days that followed at precisely noon, the preacher saw this chap each time he knelt just for a moment, a lunch pail in his lap. While the minister's suspicions grew, with robbery a main fear, he decided to stop and ask the man, "What are you doing here?" The old man said he was a factory worker and lunch was half an hour. Lunchtime was his prayer time for finding strength and power. "I stay only a moment because the factory's far away. As I kneel here talking to the Lord, this is kind of what I say. I just came by to tell you, Lord, how happy I have been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. Don't know much of how to pray, but I think about you every day. So Jesus, this has been just checking in today." The minister, feeling foolish, told Ben that it was fine. He told the man that he was welcome to pray there any time. "It's time to go, and thanks," Ben said as he hurried to the door. Then the minister knelt there at the altar, which he'd never done before. His cold heart melted and warmed with love as he met with Jesus there. As the tears flowed down his cheeks, he repeated old Ben's prayer, "Just came by to tell you, Lord, how happy I've been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. Don't know much of how to pray, but I think about you every day. So Jesus, this is me just checking in today." Past noon one day, the minister noticed that old Ben hadn't come. As more days passed and still no Ben, he began to worry some. At the factory, he asked about him, learning he was ill. The hospital staff was worried, but he'd given them a thrill. The week that Ben was there with them brought changes in the ward. His smiles and joy contagious changed people were his reward. The head nurse couldn't understand why Ben could be so glad when no flowers, calls, or cards came. Not a visitor he had. The minister then stayed by his bed. He voiced the nurse's concern. No friends had come to show they cared. He had nowhere to turn. Looking surprised, old Ben spoke up and with a winsome smile, "The nurse is wrong. She couldn't know. He's been here all the while. Every day at noon, he comes here. A dear friend of mine, you see. He sits right down and takes my hand, leans over and says to me, 'I just came by to tell you, Ben, how happy I have been since we found this friendship and I took away your sin. I think about you always and I love to hear you pray. So, Ben, this is Jesus just checking in today.'" You see, friends, he's real. Whether you've really encountered him or not, he's real. And he's here with us today. He will be with you in the most hurtful time of your life because he loves you. And I just want to say, I hope you'll stick around and hear the program from our children. But if not, I hope you have a good day. And if you're here today, you're not sure you've been redeemed because you've never stepped out in faith and trusted in the Son of God as Savior of your life, pray with Pastor Les before or myself before you leave today. This season is about God's gift to us, but the gift doesn't do us any good until we have received the gift. And so, friends, receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and become a child of God. Let Him minister to you right where you're at. Peace, joy, comfort, and the strength to get you through another day. Don't leave today if God is speaking to your heart saying, come, I love you, will you come? Will you trust me? Will you repent of all sin and receive me as Lord? Don't leave today if he's speaking to your heart. Another day, another week might be too late. Pray with Pastor Les today. Let's pray. Father, we desperately need you. Jesus. Yes, baby. But as we sung, Lord, at thy birth, we need you. There are people here this morning that hurt in their heart, in their body. There are people in our communities, in hospitals, in jails, in prisons, in care centers that hurt in their own homes, that are lonely, they're depressed. Father, we need you. And I'm just so thankful, Father, you're available. You're available right where we're at. I'm just so thankful, Lord Jesus, that you came as that baby, but you came as Emmanuel. You came as Savior. You came as Lord. And you're still here with us in your spirit to comfort and to guide us unto yourself in a relationship that's real and life transforming. And so, Father, we cry out to you today in our need. And we say, thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. And thank you, Lord Jesus. I trust you as Lord and Savior of my own life. And we say, thank you, Father, for ministering to my broken heart. And we say, thank you, Lord, for ministering to my broken body. And we say, thank you, Father, for caring enough about us that this Christmas we've received the greatest gift of all in your Son. And so I just pray that you'd minister to each and every one here today, Father, in a special way, in a close way, in a way that they just know you're real and just know we need you. And I pray for our children that will minister to us here in just a little while. Bless them, Lord. Bless the teachers. Bless the workers that have made it possible. Bless this time of year, Father, to all in our family here, our church family and our community. And in spite of the blueness about the Christmas, may we find joy anew in Jesus. For it's in His precious name I pray. Amen.